We'll try to keep it entertaining and at least very open, so interactive, so you can, you know, stay awake a little bit. So I'm Jaime Rodriguez. I'm a Windows 8 evangelist here in Redmond at Microsoft, and I've been building Windows 10 applications for the last year or so, several with jQuery. And we're going to be talking about building Windows Store applications with jQuery for the next hour. With me is Mike.
Hi, I'm Mike Hostetler, founder and CEO of Append2. I'm a former jQuery core team member and jQuery board member. And now Append2 works doing consulting around the jQuery space. And very excited to be here talking with Jaime today.
Yep. So quick show of hands. How many of you have tried running a Windows or creating a Windows Store app with jQuery? Okay. How many of you got it to work? All right, most of you? Good. There's a whole lot of does it work, it doesn't work, you know, dilemma out there. So let me, first of all, actually, let's just go out and see if it works, right? So I can go back here and last Visual Studio and just say file, new project, blank app. We're creating app two. We're not going to do anything much here. I'm just going to go back here into the JJS folder and say add existing items. And I happen to have jQuery 1.8 over here, right? So I'm just going to add it. I'm not going to do any work with it. I'm not going to call it just yet. I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to add it and show you right here. If I add it and then I reference it, what happens? So, because that's it, a little bit of the context for our talk. So I ran it, press F5, application came up. It's a blank application, so technically that worked, right? Now, if I go back here and I look at the details, you will see, if I go to my output window, that there's this little one exception that was thrown in there, right? We didn't write a single line of code, and we're getting an exception in one of those self-invoking functions within jQuery. Right, not a big deal. It wasn't a showstopper. You know, you can write an application like this and it'll work fine. You can write a jQuery and it'll work fine. But we're going to spend the next hour talking about, hey, how do we get rid of that exception? How do we prevent other exceptions? How do we get the most out of jQuery? Right. So in short, spoiler alert, you know, it does work. So let's go back and look at what we're going to spend the next hour talking about. The first half, I'm going to talk to you about just building Windows Store apps with HTML and JavaScript. Right, jQuery is just built on top of JavaScript, so everything that I tell you there is going to be applicable. I'm going to give you the context so you fully understand what's going on, so you fully understand how to do it right. Right, you don't have to learn any new coding techniques. I'm not going to tell you to throw anything away. Right, so there's, you know, it's going to be very safe. It's going to be very easy. But I want to give you the context so you understand how to do it. Then we're going to have Mike come up and give you some of the stuff that they're working on, which is going to make it even easier. Right, and then we're also going to give you some tips and tricks, where we tell you, hey, here's some of the recommendations that we have. Here's the things that we're seeing from other apps. Here's what we learn along the way. So that's kind of what we're going to cover. If you're going to remember one thing, actually, I need to remember two things for today. The first one is Windows Store apps can be built using standards-based HTML, CSS, and JavaScript. So for those of you, what you're doing, you know, if you know jQuery, if you know JavaScript, if you're using CSS, all of that stuff, that's exactly what we're built on, right? When you're looking at libraries, everybody here at least has heard of WinJS, right? Right. You've been here all week, so hopefully you at least attended one session with WinJS. So, you know, WinJS for us is kind of, you know, similar to jQuery. It's just a library, a framework that you can use and helps you and, you know, allows you to write a little bit less code and allows you to get some tasks done. So that's built on top of JavaScript the exact same way than jQuery is. We don't have any private hooks or anything special. We are not doing anything that's not standards-based, right? So when you think about, hey, you know, can we build libraries using JavaScript, the answer is absolutely yes. And for those of you that are wondering, well, why would Microsoft do that, considering we had .NET and C# and all these things? It's because we understand that all of you have apps, right? And we understand that you have skills, you know, you have tools and skills and code that you want to bring onto your Windows Store app. So that's why we did JavaScript. That's why we want, you know, we're very committed to making sure we stay within the standards. We're very committed to making sure that your code is compatible with other browsers and other platforms such that, you know, you can reuse your code and not have that extra overhead. That's the whole reason we did it. So definitely leave knowing that, hey, you know, they're in. Right? They're not going to go break it. They're not going to do anything else. You know, if anything else, we're going to try to make it easier and easier as we go. So we're, you know, we're very interested in doing that. If anybody needs a recap, you know, when you're writing a Windows Store application with HTML, you're writing on top of IE10, right? So I just wanted to throw the slide out there because we've done a lot of innovation at IE10. We've really caught up and leaped forward over the last couple of years with regards to the web and our support for HTML5 web standards, right? So if you're looking at here, this is everything that we've added since IE9 and 10. There's a whole lot of innovation here. We're adding stuff that's even farther than most other browsers are. For example, Flexblock support, grid support. We're adding things that we think are critical to our platform, right? Because with Windows 8, you kind of have all these dynamic displays. You have, you can have a 1366 by 76 display. You can have a 1920. So for us, it was critical to make sure we had grid and Flexblock and other dynamic layouts, right? We've made sure that we have CSS3 and animations such that you can get really great animations with really great performance. This is where we caught up with IE10. Everything in IE10 with regards to rendering is hardware accelerated, so performance is really good. Our Chakra engine is highly optimized, so again, performance is really good. And we even do further optimizations when we install the application where, for example, where your application comes in, if you had the byte order mark bit set, we'll automatically cache that, and then you'll get faster startup as you go. So we're definitely doing a lot of stuff to make sure that your JavaScript applications are going to perform really, really well within a platform. You've seen a lot of them, right? Like if you look at, for example, on Tuesday, the keynote with AGMP, that was a JavaScript game. Really great performance, really great game, no problems. Right. That said, I do want to explain you a little bit and give you all the context, like I said earlier, so you can get the most out of it. So I do want to tell you, for those of you that are writing websites today, when you write a Windows Store app, that is different than a website. There's certain things that are different. There's certain things that you need to be aware of. Right, and some of these are higher-level principles. Like, for example, within applications, we will have an application model. Right, we have something like suspend, resume, how you get launched, and all these things are going to be slightly different. You're not in the browser; it's not just the web page. Right, so there's things like that you'll have to look that you have to look at. Same for navigation. Right, and when you launch a Windows Store app, that one application is like you launch one HTML page, and that page stays there forever until somebody closes it. You're not navigating away. If you have to bring in other pages and everything, you're bringing them into that page, right? So there's a few different, there's a few differences that you have to be aware of. The big one that I want to highlight today is trust, right? When you write a Windows Store app, we want you to take advantage of the operating system, right? If you heard of contracts, live tiles, PLM, there's all these things that the operating system will do. Settings, there's all these things that the operating system will do that we want you to take advantage so that your app is really great, right? So you're going to be writing a little bit more. You're going to be doing a little bit more than you did on your website. And a little bit of this has access to, for example, your document library or the file system, things that require a little bit of higher trust, right? Because it's an app, we're saying, hey, we need to do that. Let's go ahead and give them that higher trust. But in parallel, we also had to go back and say, hey, how do we make sure that the users, the people that are installing your app, feel really confident that this is safe to do, right? So one of the principles that we had for us in Windows Store app is having user confidence, making sure that, whatever your app, when you install your app, when a user installs your app, right, they would not, nothing will break. Right? The user will be very confident that, yeah, I'm going to install this app and I'm going to try it. I might not even buy it. I'll just try it because, trying is easy. I know that it's not going to go in and delete my files or look at cookies or anything that, it's not supposed to do. So this is very safe to do. And that's what we've started. That's the principle that we started it. And let me show you how we created that and what the differences are for you to understand how to bring your existing JavaScript and, code that you have out there on the web. Here's the old model, or here's the model that we use in the browser, right? You have Internet Explorer is the host. On the Windows Store app side, we have a different code, different host. If you look at the process name, it's called wwahost.exe. So technically, you're not running Internet Explorer. If you're familiar with the way Internet Explorer works, they have a rendering engine called Trident, and so we have the exact same rendering engine. So it's Trident on both sides. Right, but the host is different, so we have actually different security permissions and different security constraints. It's a different sandbox for practical purposes. Now, when you're out there on Internet Explorer, I'll call that the web context, because we have this terminology that we use at Microsoft. So let's call that the web context, just because it's the web. When you run it over here on Windows Store app, by default, you're running on local context. Think about it. Your application's installed. You have to work well offline. So we want you to be working on this local context stuff. It's got higher trust, and it's actually going to be working well offline and everything else. Now, with regards to you, you're focused on, hey, how do I write my code, and what kind of code do I write? Well, they both have HTML, CSS, and JavaScript. It's the exact same, it's, again, same engine, same performance, same everything, right? So on that side, you're not going to see a difference. Your code will be reusable. Everything will be, fine. Now, when you're running in local context, one of the things that you will have is you will have access to the WinRT APIs, which in turn give you access to the rest of the operating system, right? So you do have a higher context. You do have a higher trust. Right? So you have a lot more that you can do, and we're going to walk you through the areas that you have to understand. But for practical purposes, a lot of this for you is, hey, I have my HTML, I have my JavaScript, I'm going to reuse a lot of that, and then I'm going to call to the WinRT APIs whenever I want to do something better, like OS integration or accessing a device or something extra. So it's kind of like you're going to sprinkle a little bit of WinRT goodness on top of your app. But the skills are the same. When you're accessing these WinRT APIs and everything else, you're still coding to JavaScript. So you're using the coding techniques that you're already familiar with. Now, within this whole Windows Store app, we also have the context of web context. So within your app, you can create your app. You will have a default page that we launch. And if you say, hey, I want to integrate with my shopping app, and maybe the checkout cart is going to stay online as an iframe, well, you can do that. Right? So we do have a web context, and that's just bringing an iframe into your app. You can do that no problem. Right? And if you bring an iframe into your app, the one thing that's going to happen is that you will have two separate contexts. Right? So you're running on local context where you have full trust, where you can access WinRT APIs, and you also will have a page that can run inside the iframe, and that's called running in the web context. The two can communicate with each other using post message and the same techniques that you would use to communicate through iframes, for example. Oops, not sure. Right. So on that side, you do have both. You can communicate with both, right? But they're separate. They're actually totally different. For example, if you're in web context and you try calling onto one of these WinRT APIs, you're going to get an exception, right? So you will not have access to that. It's the best of both worlds. You can make sure you mix and match. If you need to communicate back and forth, you can post message. But we want you to be running on the local context for most of the time, right? Because that's what your app's going to do, since you're writing an app, not a website. Let me walk you through some of the differences between the host. And the best thing to do there is to just show you the documentation, because it's very thorough, and it does a pretty good job at telling you what we have there. So if you're looking at here, here's some of the changes. So first of all, just the host differences, right? Remember, www host IE, right? So just the host difference. Let me show you some of the things that work and some of the things that don't work. So again, and you will have a reference to this link for you to go back and look at this documentation later. So the things that don't work, let's start from the bottom because it's easier. Some of the things that you'll be like, hey, this is not supported when you're running a Windows Store app is all of the stuff that you normally do with the window. So window.open, window.prompt, window.alert, all of those things don't work. And the reason for it is because you're not running in the browser. So we don't have all of those objects. We don't have all that functionality. So there's no such thing as, from within my app, open a new tab. Right? Those make sense. It's not going to affect you too much because you're on your website. You usually don't code to a lot of those. So that's where you're going to be. Now, that's a pretty low-hanging fruit. You understand that. The next one that's actually interesting is this. If you look at a lot of the properties or a lot of the functions that we have in the DOM, some of them have behavior change. We've added a little bit of functionality onto them. For example, inner HTML is going to be the big one, right? Here's what happens. You write a lot of code, and a very common technique for us is we just need to insert objects, onto the DOM, right, onto the tree. And we just go in there and say, inner HTML equals, and then we open a div, and we create all kinds of stuff, right? And for the most part, you know what you're doing, right? So you know that, hey, what I'm doing is right, and it's a technique that I use all the time, and it's okay. But from Microsoft's standpoint, we thought, well, for the most part, it's kind of risky. Right? Because every now and then you could do something dangerous. Like, for example, if you make a network call, you download some data, and you're going to insert onto the tree, and what happens if somebody injects some script in there? right? Somebody can go in there and do something that is potentially dangerous. And, you know, if you're trusting them, right, you might be thinking it's okay, but we didn't want to take the risk because we need to make sure that that user confidence stays up. So what we've done is we've actually tweaked a few of these methods, a few of these properties, such that we add a filter in whenever you call it. So whenever you call inner HTML, what we're going to do is we're going to filter it just the way you would if you called toStatic HTML, which is a good practice anyway when you're writing web code, to actually, first of all, you know, take that whatever you came from that untrusted side, run it through toStatic so that it kind of sanitizes it a little bit, and then you'll set it. Right? And that's actually where our exception came from today. When you look at that jQuery, you know, when we started up jQuery and we had that self-invoking function, right? What happened there is they had an inner HTML that had one of the attributes that, you know, are potentially unsafe. In that case, it was not an unsafe one, right? But it's just the pattern that we looked at, and we filtered it, and we gave you the exception for that. Let me show you a couple of examples just so you get an idea, because this, you know, it sounds like a big deal, but for the most part, it isn't. So for example, right here, I have a couple of areas where I said inner HTML because that's the easier one for you to understand. A lot of us do something like this. Inner HTML equals test, right, or text or whatever. Technically there, we could have just gotten away with saying inner text equals, and it would have been the exact same thing, but that would have been safer. So that's the pattern that you should use if you're just setting a little bit of text. Now, the next thing that we most of us do is we'll say, hey, in fact, let's just run in and put a debugger, put a breakpoint here, so you can see exactly where we're at. Right. So right here, this, you know, is going through the filter. No big deal. That's not going to throw an exception or anything like that. That's safe. You can continue to use that. The next one will be like, hey, I just want to actually insert an object. So I want to insert a div onto my tree, and I can say, hey, div to inner HTML equals. All right. And there's nothing unsafe there, so no problem. Right. All of those things still work. Right. The next one's a little bit more interesting because I have, you know, a div, so very much like the previous one, but this one has onClick equals. So this actually is injecting some script into that. Right. And this one is one that's going to fail the filter by default. Right. So you see there, we try to run it. It caught the exception, and then you get a really nice exception message that says, unable to add dynamic context. Please go look at that document that I just showed you. So that's where you're going to be. Right. So this is easy enough. If you're writing this kind of code, just do inner HTML equals div, and then add an onclick later on JavaScript on the next line of code, and you'll get around it, no problem, right? So there's nothing there that will be different. We're not counting your functionality or anything like that, right? This one's going a little bit farther and try to, you know, insert a full script onto it. So very much like the previous one, this one's going to fail because of the same reasons. It's trying to inject script, and we don't want you to do that, right? This one right here uses a common pattern that we use, on the web, where we use the data custom attributes. So let's just go ahead, and this one will work fine, just so you see the technique there. The next one right here is using name, and if you go look at that document, name is one of those attributes that we actually filter, so this one's going to fail. But just to show you that, for example, we filter name, but we don't filter ID, because ID is the one you're going to use the most. You'll actually, ID is going to pass, and I left that jQuery selector earlier just to show you that everything worked. But this is the change that I just told you. So that whole big document just comes to this. We'll filter in a few. Right? Most of these, you know, some of these you might not be using those techniques, right? A lot of us don't like to put script, you know, tags on our inner HTML anyway. So a lot of these are techniques that most of us are not using, so they're not going to get you. Right. But if you're bringing a lot of code, you're bringing a lot of plugins, you're bringing a lot of existing code, you might have it in a few places, and you'll be able to, you know, and you'll run into it. When you run into it, you'll see it on the output window. You can go into Visual Studio 2 and just say debug exceptions, right? And then just have click right here where it throws whenever there's an exception happening, and then you'll be able to catch them quickly. It's a fast and easy way to test and make sure that you're okay. Right, that's the difference. That's what we're talking about there, and so that's what you need to be aware of. Right, let's go back here, and again, you have the link to the doc. From there, just follow the links to the toStatic HTML page, and you'll see exactly what's allowed and what's not, and you'll be able to very quickly assess how your code is going to do. It's very, very simple, and it shouldn't require a lot of changes. Now, I talked about this local context and this web context, so. let me tell you a little bit more about those so you understand kind of how everything works. So here I have a table, and I have a couple features or functionality that you're going to have to look at and say, oh, how do I use this, and how do I, how is this going to play within my context, right? So the first one is Windows Runtime. We want you to take advantage of that. When you write your Windows Store app, we want you to call onto the Windows Runtime. In order to write a really great app, you're going to have to call onto it, because you will have suspend and resume and certain things that you really need to implement anyway. So if you're in local context, you can access the Windows Runtime, no problem. So the answer there is yes. That's one that I want you to remember. The second one that I want you to remember is this one. The rest you can read. So the second one that I want you to remember is this one, right? When you're running in local context, we cannot reference external scripts. So most of us here, like when we use jQuery, we always download it from the CDN. Right, that's the pattern that we use. We always say, oh, go to one of the CDNs, Microsoft, Google, whatever. We always go in and get jQuery from the CDN. Well, when you write your WinJS app, or when you write your Windows Store app, you actually don't want to do that. You want to include jQuery. And this is something that makes sense anyway, because you want your application to work while it's offline. Right? So you would never want to link to that CDN and take that risk that your application doesn't come up. Right? So that's just kind of where we're at. So you want to include your jQuery file onto your CDN. You want to include your jQuery file onto your package and then have it go with it. Now, if you're going to include it, you want to get rid of that exception, right? And that's where Mike comes in, and he'll tell you some of the stuff we're doing to make sure that you have, you can get rid of those exceptions without writing any code. So go ahead,
cool.
Mike.
Thanks, Jaime. So maybe some like some of you, I attended Build last year, and as a web developer, I was really excited about what Microsoft was doing in including HTML and JavaScript in a way that you could build and run these kinds of applications. After Build and I got my Samsung Slate, I went right back to my hotel room, and the first thing I did was what we showed you earlier of open up Visual Studio, download jQuery, drop in jQuery, do a little selector work to see if it worked. Sure enough, at that time, jQuery worked. It was, and talked with several people at Build. The consensus and promise was that they wanted to support jQuery, and so we kind of kept an eye on it. The guys from Component One did some great work and demos that they put up when the preview release came out, and got jQuery UI components working, and it was just this ecstatic moment, because as a web developer, I was going to be able to use the skills that I've been investing into the last 10 years in this new environment. So we kept an eye on it, downloaded the new releases as they came out. We're part of that group that downloaded Windows a million times, and kind of we're still playing with jQuery. As more information came out about the local context, the web context, we kind of kept reading up on the differences and what the Windows team was doing as they were implementing this. And as we kind of got into it, we ran into recently the same exception that we showed earlier. And we're kind of like scratching our heads, wanted to know how to fix this. As part of the jQuery community and jQuery team, we wanted jQuery to work flawlessly for developers as easy as possible on this platform. So once we spotted this error, we not only wanted to kind of give the guidance for how to go in and fix it and use these properties like inner HTML properly, but we wanted to fix jQuery itself, right? So when you download jQuery, you have that trust. You have that same experience that it's just going to work. So begin by reaching out to the jQuery core team. It's run by a different team now. Dave Methvin is the lead for jQuery core, and had a conversation as we were going through the documentation on MSDN around, what do we need to fix here? We saw that first exception when you just load jQuery on the page, and if there's one exception, there's probably more. Some effort really needs to be put into this. And in talking to Dave, we really got his blessing and the team's blessing to just run with this, trying to make jQuery work and adapt it to this environment. So the way we begin by doing that is we actually took jQuery's QUnit test suite. jQuery ships with over 6,000 unit tests. And what we did is we actually developed a Windows Store app that pulls in that test suite, uses the QUnit testing framework, and then goes through and runs all of jQuery's tests within the local context. Now, when we did that, it was a little bit, you know, interesting getting it to work. We ended up talking with Josh Williams on the Windows JS team. He was very gracious and helped us get QUnit working. We then kind of pulled it in. We're playing around with it and you know, deep diving on MSDN. And then big thanks to Jonathan Sampson here in the front row from Append2, who was doing a lot of that work. And we finally got it up and running, and there were some tests that broke, right? And digging into it, one of the culprits was you know, jQuery passing some of the like injecting scripts into the page. The JSONP function, if you're ever pulling in and using the JSONP function, actually injects a script into your page. So that really wasn't, that was one area we identified that we needed to fix. And we begin by, you know, either working with and fixing the jQuery source, or there were actually some unit tests that were off. So jQuery uses PHP behind the scenes to do some of its unit testing, to return XML. So we kind of got some of that fixed as well. And over the last couple weeks and after jQuery 1.8 came out and Windows RTM came out, that's kind of when we really chose to dig into this. We ended up developing and are happy to release today a preview available of jQuery for Win 8. It's a version of jQuery, just the jQuery that you know, that has we've dove into the source and we've addressed a lot of these issues. So I'm going to show that to you now. You can we're releasing it today on GitHub. So you can just go out to github.com/append2/jQuery win8 and download jQuery just like you would download it from the jQuery site. We've got a normal unminified version here for you, a minified version for use in production. And again, these are files that we need to pull into the local context if we're building these apps. And then there's a plugin that we developed along the way that we'll be talking about in a little bit for dealing with and working with the WinJS deferreds and the jQuery deferred functionality. So just to kind of show this here, we're going to, File, New Project. Stop. Okay, thank you. To our blank app. App number 4. And so, similar demo to what Jaime did, we're going to add a new item. This is getting my Visual Studio skills up to speed here. Existing. There we go. Thank you very much. So, C:: there we go. All right. We're going to add our jQuery for Windows 8 to our application. We're going to pull it into our default XML right here. And we're going to go ahead and run this. Just blank app, sample app. Okay. Back to our Visual Studio thing. Show our JavaScript, and our exception is no longer there. So we've got, so this is in pulling it in. So this is what we're releasing today at this talk. So we've got, so that's kind of interesting, but we want to maybe talk a little bit more about using jQuery in a real app. So we've, through the work that Elijah Manor has done, have actually developed a more fully featured app for reading Hacker News. We've gone and built a couple versions of the app. We first built it using just the Windows JS controls, just a vanilla WinJS, and we're going to take a look at what we can do in pulling this in. So go to another Visual Studio project here. And I'm going to take a look first at our Hacker News app, built with just generic WinJS. So default page, we'll just run this. There's been other talks about using this. Pull up Hacker News. We've got all of our stories here. We can scroll along, read some stories. Pulls in the latest via a feed. It's got a nice visual representation of the links on these pages, so you can see what they link to. Going into that first link here, you've got a nice image provided of what the link links to, and then you've got your comments right here. So start with that. That's the app we'll be working with. And we're going to take a look and stop this here. Begin by pulling our WinJS jQuery for Windows 8 and right into the app. So I'm going to uncomment this here. And we're going to start by taking a look at our JavaScript and beginning to refactor some of this using jQuery. So we've got here just our default getting our onReady event to fire. And what's interesting here is here's a function signature. If you use JavaScript before, we can work and replace some of this stuff with standard jQuery code. So I'm just going to start here. And document.getElementById, that's a functionality that the dollar sign provides, so we can start by doing that. Our refresh selector there actually is a ID, so we're going to do ID, refresh. So basic jQuery code replaces what we would normally have worked with in WinJS. Now, the next piece up here of add event listener is just we're working with events, and we're going to use jQuery's default dot on function. So we'll add and append a call to the dot on function in jQuery. Our IntelliSense works nicely. And we're going to respond to a click event here. And the click event requires a callback function, just like the add event listener does as well. So all right, so we've got our function signature converted to jQuery by first selecting, just like we would in a normal application, our ID and then responding to an event. So I'm going to just copy this code in for the moment. And this speaks to that different context, nav.location. Nav.location is that difference between working with a normal web page where you really wouldn't go to a different location, but you're working within this context of a Windows Store app, so we need to leave that in there. jQuery doesn't provide any functionality to replace that. But this next line, app.queueEvent, that leverages functionality in WinJS for this document or application PubSub. Application PubSub type stuff there's a well-trod pattern within jQuery of firing and triggering events, attaching and triggering events to the page's document object. So we can actually replicate that functionality with this jQuery line. So I'm going to pass in the document object. This is actually triggering the event, and we can pass our event name, just like that, and replace this line as well. So a little bit different signature. Again, this is intended to sort of just demonstrate that the equivalent functionality is there. You can kind of leverage what you're familiar with and transport those skills from one environment to another, which is the exciting promise of these building these apps. So I'm going to pull this out for the moment. And so we've taken that piece of code, we've converted it to jQuery code, and now let's take a look at some other areas in the app. Next place I'm going to jump into is on the detail page. So when we've got our list page, which uses the WinJS list view, on the detail page, we've got the code that actually leverages and inserts content that's pulled from a web feed back into that detail page and detail view. We'll look at the Ajax stuff in a little bit of how that happens, but the data has been pulled back via JSON, and we've got a number of selectors now that we're using to replicate that inner HTML functionality that Jaime talked about. So I want to dive into how that looks and how that works in jQuery. Here again, specifically, just because we showed the demo before, is that function signature of inner HTML. So we're going to work and we're going to type some code here to grab our selectors, grab our elements. So element.query selector, again, replicates the jQuery function. So instead of element.query selector, we can just call it globally $.titleArea.pageTitle.text. Text in jQuery is a function. So there, we've got one line of WinJS code that's been converted to jQuery code, same signature. In this case, we're passing it through text beneath the covers. This, is, again, just uses the inner text, so security model, local context, no real change there. The next one, and we're going to throw in a little bit of magic at the moment for performance reasons, we're actually going to find and pull out this article element and just go to our DOM once so we can work with it. Article equals. So what I've done here is I'm pulling the article element out of the DOM. I'm caching it locally because the next four lines are going to use it. So pulled the article out. Now I need to replicate the functionality on these four lines of code with different sub-selectors. So get my thing back here. Article. Because this has been cached as a jQuery object, I can now do .find, which finds scopes the selector to the element, calling it item title. Now, here's our inner HTML function. Beneath the covers, jQuery replicates some of the functionality and changes itself to work within that local context and to follow the guidance given by Microsoft. So we're going to use the HTML function, which calls it underneath the covers, to just pass in our item.title. So there's our replicated that line there. Same thing for the next line. HTML again. And then this calls a function down below, which is a little bit more formatting. And we've now replicated this functionality there as well. So we've changed, again, the Windows.js context to the jQuery context. We'll go through this next one pretty quickly. Now, in this case, the typical way to do it this through WinJS is by using and calling these properties off of the object return from the query selector. In our case, we can take advantage of the jQuery ATTR method, and ATTR takes an object literal, so we can kind of shortcut things here a little bit, combining these lines into a single line. Source, item.source, alt, item.title. Close our object literal, and we now have converted our WinJS code to jQuery code. So we're going to run this here. Here we go. We now have jQuery running within our WinJS app. So very cool. No exceptions. So we're going to close this down. Stop this, go back. Now, there's a couple other things I want to show you regarding different features that you can pull in. Hacker News jQuery. So we've actually taken the WinJS app and we've fully ported it over to jQuery, pulling in several other features and functions. So the first thing I want to jump into, got this some of this code already in here, is the data JavaScript file. So pulling in our data via webhook URL, the $.ajax works. So you can use $.ajax to pull content down just like you would in a website. It's very cool, similar, just function signatures and everything that you're used to going back to the web standards that were implemented. The next thing I want to bring attention to is this guy right here. So WinJS has built a lot of its functionality around the promises feature. Promises are used to handle callbacks and the order of functionality within your WinJS or Windows Store app. jQuery has a similar feature called jQuery Deferreds. jQuery Deferreds kind of fill that same functionality hole. They provide a way to deal with your control flow as you're working through callbacks, and that extra file that was included in that jQuery Win8 repo is actually a plugin written by Elijah that makes jQuery Deferreds and WinJS promises play nice together. So in this case, we're actually using a jQuery Deferred. We're passing in two functions. First, the jQuery function, $.getJSON, and then a Windows JS function, WinJS promise, that this will work as expected if you use the plugin. If you're just using jQuery itself, this is just one of the areas, extra areas that we found that wouldn't normally work as expected, maybe, because they're a little bit different. We've written this plugin to sort of pull them in together and get to that same experience that you would expect with jQuery and WinJS living side by side. So that's kind of cool. So next thing we're going to take a look at is we talked about the is the templates. So taking a look at templates in our we actually, in this version of the app, are making use of WinJS templates. So WinJS templates work great. They're what you would expect in templating and data binding. But what if we wanted to use our own templating language, like handlebars or the jQuery templates? We've actually gone and implemented a handlebars template right alongside a WinJS template in our app. So if you've used handlebars templates before, you define a script tag, you add your template code within this template, and you set this type, signing it as text/xhandlebars template. That's a custom thing that you can then insert this text. It won't show up in your page if you've never used templates before. It sort of just hangs out there as a fragment of code in your markup that you can use. So once we have this, we can use this just the same as we would a WinJS template right alongside of it because of just the level of web standards that Windows Store apps support. So take a look at this here. We've got our code converted as well. And we have, here's our handlebars template. We're actually pass in our code and compile the template. So this is grabbing it out and then assigning template items right there. So this is just wanted to demonstrate that jQuery and Windows JS live side by side. You can use jQuery as expected. Append 2 will be supporting and taking care of this version of WinJS for the community going forward. Our goal eventually is to get a lot of these changes funneled back into the core project. So there won't be two versions out there, but again, working with the project right now, that's been the best solution. And we have really enjoyed working on this. So,
all right, can you hear me? Cool. So let's just recap what you saw. Let me summarize it real quick. And I did see the exception. He included the wrong file. It was there was three files in there. So that works. You can go download it from the repo, and you'll see it. You'll be fine. But let's recap what we saw so we can tell you where we're at, and then we can give you a little bit more tips. We've been working with Append 2. They have, right now you're looking at, jQuery has probably 6,000 unit tests. We're down to like a couple, maybe less than a dozen that we're still working on. With regards to passing all the jQuery unit tests, they're almost there. right? They've done it using techniques that you're familiar with. They've done a little bit of workarounds in the few places where we had to go in there and replace code. It was just replacing, for example, an inner HTML that has script with two lines instead of one line, such that you would accomplish the exact same thing. So it's the exact same version of jQuery. Now this is in Git. We're gonna, they're gonna file all the bugs. Mike's, we're working with the jQuery team with Dave. We're gonna file the bugs. We're gonna see what comes in there. So we're not looking to fork or anything like that. We expect that a lot of this goes back onto jQuery, and then you'll later be able to download the standard version of jQuery and get a lot of this functionality in there, right? It's just the reality of they ship every 3 months. 1.8 is where we started doing the work, and so we got to go back and feed that. But we're working together with the teams, and so we're also working together with the Microsoft team to make sure that everybody knows how things are working. With regards to what you saw in the application, here's the one thing. Here's the way I would recap that. You saw my favorite patterns, right? Like, I do use handlebars and templates a lot. I do use the ferds a lot. So we went back and said, hey, what are the things that we know people are really going to love and be passionate about having? Our intention here, we did it let's take a WinJS app and let's convert it to jQuery to show you the functionality. Obviously, for you, it's, hey, just bring your code. We're not going to ask you to write it in WinJS first and then convert it. Right. Our intention was just to show you that everything worked.
Yep.
Right. All the functionality that you needed is there, and it worked fine. So you're not going to have any surprises or anything else like that. And then the last thing that you saw, which is an interesting thing, is that if you look at the application did use WinJS. Right. We had a list view. Like when you run the application, this right here is actually a list view. Right. This is standard Windows control. You see here we have navigation. He showed you the nav dot something. These are patterns that you're going to need when you're writing an app. So these are things where you're going to be using the JavaScript that you know. You're just going to be using a little bit of functionality. Everything goes back and forth. Yes, there is duplication, like jQuery has selectors, and so does WinJS. Fine, use the one you want. Right? They both work the exact same way, because underneath they're both calling onto the same JavaScript engine and doing the exact same work. So you're not going to see a performance difference in one over the other, or at least not significant performance difference, and you'll be able to mix and match. So let's get back and give you a little bit of the, hey, now that you know you can do all of this, what are the things that you should kind of watch out for and keep building on, or keep stay aware of, right? And the first one is, you have all this JavaScript, you have all this functionality that you already written, right? It's a website. What does it take to build or to turn it into an app, right? And this is not an all-inclusive list, but I'll give you a couple of ideas just so you see things that you should do and things that you'll have to do. For example, PLM. PLM is the acronym we use internally for the whole application lifecycle management, right? So when your application runs, it's full screen, it takes over, it's active. Right, when somebody presses Windows Tab or Alt Tab and they switch to another application, your application will be suspended. Hopefully you've seen a little bit of PLM throughout this week at Build. So these are things that you'll have to go back. Your application will be suspended. You need to make sure you save your state, and then you can restore it when you get restored later. Right? This is functionality that's in WinRT. WinJS has wrappers for a lot of this functionality that will make it easier. You can mix and match, or you can go in there and call onto WinRT objects directly. Right? So there's not going to be anything, there's not going to be anything new. You're going to be using JavaScript. You're going to be very comfortable. Same thing for view state. So for example, if we go back onto this, onto the same demo, right? And I press Windows dot, that snapped the window, right? Well, there, because we were using list view, it was very trivial, right? We just changed from list layout to a grid layout, right? And it was very easy for you to actually do that, right? The next things are, for example, contracts, right? If you're looking at here at the application, the next one will be, for example, contracts, where I can go back here. I have the app. I can go in there and go into, for example, settings. And you'll see we've added this about page. And we've implemented the contract for settings, and everything works, and it's seamless. And we've given you a little bit of, hey, this is some of the functionality that we'd use that comes from the jQuery code base as opposed to the WinJS code base, and here's how we mix and match. So you can see a little bit of that. You can see that we seamlessly go back and forth between the two of them. Right, so that's some of the things that you have to look at. Contracts. We should also implement live tiles. If you look at the Hacker News app, we actually have a live tile. You can see it right here. It's actually, kind of start cycling through the last five stories that we looked at, the last five stories that we downloaded. That's a few lines of code that you add onto your application, and now it's much cooler. It's kind of live. It can be, you know, it's more aware, and the user is more enticed to actually click on it, which is obviously good for you if they're running your app a little bit more. Right. So those are kind of functionality that you have, and you know, and those are things that you should be aware of with regards to writing a better app, what I call a great Windows Store app. On the UI and user experience tips, I do have to highlight a few things. We've done it before. If you're running, for example, a jQuery game, right, you're in really great shape because you know you have a user experience that's all encompassing, and you know your game will be fine, like Agent P. Right, that was a game that you know, it plays the same across different platforms. You don't have to worry about the UI a lot. If you're writing an application that's more data-centric, like the Hacker News one that we looked at, right, there we could have gone with a div and a scroller and kind of have a totally different experience, but we wouldn't have gotten a lot of the stuff that's for free in ListView, right? You saw that ListView, when we snap, we got that different layout. That's kind of nice. Right? If you look at the list view, we have the scrolling, we have selection, we have a lot of functionality that we've added onto the, you know, onto the application. Right here, for example, right, we have scrolling here, we have the app bar coming up. All of this stuff is functionality that you get for free just from using the WinJS controls. And those WinJS controls, the main reason why we wrote WinJS at Microsoft when we started, it was because we have this thing called the Windows Personality that has animation, that has, you know, motion, that has some very specific gestures that we wanted to make sure were across all applications, whether they were written in JavaScript, whether they were written in SAML, right? In parallel is whether they're written with JavaScript and jQuery, right? So when you look at your user experience and your UI, my recommendation is, hey, use as much of the WinJS controls as you can, because that's going to give you a lot more of the functionality that the user expects. It's going to give you a lot more of that Windows personality, right? There's controls that just flat out don't fit. For example, like, you know, I tend to use like JQ model a lot, right, just for model windows. Well, we have a message dialog, so if you need to show errors and give them message dialog, we have a WinRT message dialog that the user will be most familiar with. So make sure you give them a consistent experience, something very familiar, you know, something that's coming out of the WinRT APIs. It's going to be very easy for you to mix and match. It's going to be very easy for you to just do the right thing such that you know, your users are comfortable and you don't have to write a whole lot of new code. So that's it. Our takeaway from today is you can definitely use jQuery to build Windows Store apps. If you're looking at it from that, and I want to do the caveats, I would say, again, make sure they're really great apps. So do the extra work. Don't just bring your web page and think like, oh, I'm done. Right. The second one is make sure you write safe code. So look at those patterns that we looked at. Right now with the library, we're not adding anything. Like, you know, there's a workaround for you. If you like to use the patterns like the inner HTML and you're saying, hey, I really want to inject script and I'm comfortable because I know that I've tested it and I know that this is safe and it's something that I'm doing. There's kind of an escape hatch that we, or what I call escape hatch, which is a function called exec unsafe local function. Right, so you can use that. Right, the reason Microsoft added is because we knew you would need it. Right? We wanted, you know, just on the name, we wanted to make sure very explicitly that you go in there and add the code. We're not adding it for you automatically, right? And you look at the name and say, hey, I know this is unsafe, so I know that I've reviewed it and I've done my homework. So that's it, right? You want to go build jQuery apps? Great, go ahead. We would love to have your apps, but make sure you make them great apps and make sure you make them safe apps. And that's it for us today. We're happy to take any questions that you might have. If you don't mind, go to the mic. That makes it easier for everybody else to hear. And then you know, we'll just answer them as we go. So, thank you very much for coming. we're looking at, hey, let's just go back and fix it. Oh, so let me repeat the whole question so that it comes out on the video. So the question is, how long will jQuery, the Win8 script work or be around until it's all in jQuery? And the answer there is, we haven't even filed the bugs yet. So we're going to wait to file the bugs and have them fix them. If everything gets accepted, then we immediately, you know, don't need it anymore. If it doesn't get accepted, then Append2 is committed to support it in as we go. But we expect that a lot of it will get accepted and that, you know, yep. You won't have to do an extra download going forward.
Okay.
We don't have a great timeline yet. It's something where we have to look at it. You know, jQuery releases once a quarter, but they're already in the middle of it. So I cannot tell you, oh, yeah, we can squeeze this on, you know, by end of the year or maybe with the first quarter. But we'll file the
back. It is relatively safe, right?
Yep.
To start using it right now.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It all works and it's supported. So if you file a bug, it's in Git. If you have a bug or you want us to pull something, you can go in there and, you know, contribute and actually, you know, and it'll be supported. So you can exchange back and forth and say, hey, look, I found this, or hey, you know, I want to make sure that this continues to work this way, and we'll make sure it works.
Thank you.
Yep.
Hi, one question. How will jQuery work with conjunction of TypeScript? Are there any...
So the question is, how will jQuery and TypeScript work together? And the short answer is, we haven't looked at that at all. There's been conversations, like, you know, between both teams, or between, for example, in our case, we had dinner with some TypeScript people yesterday. We were exchanging ideas, but that's way too far for us to, like, for us to tell you anything farther than that.
Yeah, because we are planning. We are having this application with jQuery full, with SignalR, and attention is to migrate to TypeScript as soon as possible. So we should know some directions, or it'll be like collisions.
Yep. So feel free to come up afterwards and give me your card or tell me how to get in touch, and we can keep you up to date, but there's nothing to announce or anything. Like, we really haven't looked at right. Right now, we're very focused on, in fact, actually, the Hacker News demo, we have a version of this and runs on TypeScript. And to be honest, we didn't show it today just because we want to make sure that jQuery people know that we're not looking to change anything more than we need to.
Okay.
Right? So on that side, you can go to the Git and see it there working with TypeScript. But we wanted to make sure that we said, hey, let's keep it you know, as simple as we can. Let's show them the code that they have, and let's make sure that you're comfortable knowing that we're not intending to change it. If people do want to take that step, come up to us afterwards, and we'll talk offline and keep everybody up to date. But right now, there's nothing there.
Thank you.
Yep. Thank you.
As jQuery and all of these are open source, like some companies has policies that they won't recommend open source platforms to be used for the commercial product development.
Yep.
So, like, but if I see, like, in Microsoft Build conference itself, like, most of the things they are suggesting with jQuery kind of stuff. So. Can we convince, like, because we have one of the app which we want to develop, but as it is, we thought of using jQuery, but our company policy doesn't agree to use open source.
Yep. So that's a great question. So the purpose of this talk was to tell jQuery developers, you can use what you're familiar with. As you saw there, if you use WinJS, you have equivalent functionality. So if you have a policy at, you know, at your work, or you don't have existing code, then, you know, I work for Microsoft, so I would tell you, start with WinJS and don't take the extra dependency, right? So on that side, there's nothing that, you know, like, there's not functionality that is jQuery specific that we would not have. I think WinJS is comparable. Our goal for here is to tell people, hey, if you have a lot of code, bring it in, don't throw it away. Right? That's why we've embraced web standards. That's why we've embraced JavaScript as one of the you know, coding options for you. But it doesn't mean that you have to use jQuery. So don't feel at all like you have to. You can definitely use WinJS, you know, use WinRT. All of the functionality is there. We're working on the same base. So don't feel like you have to. It was, to us, it's just a way to tell people, this works. If you have code, bring it in. If you haven't started, then yeah, I would have told you go WinJS, especially in your case because you have the policy that says to, you know, to go that route. So there's nothing in there. We don't look to merge, and we don't look to leave holes in the platform that a library would fill. We're going to fill every hole that we can within the platform to make everybody's needs.
To build cross-platform applications, like if I develop an app with WinJS, and if I want to port the same thing to iOS or Android, So like that WinJS will support in everywhere, because that's the advantage of using a jQuery, because jQuery works across all the platform.
Yep.
And if I start developing an app using WinJS, like the JavaScript APIs directly may be talking to the WinRT. So like how does it will hold good in other platforms?
Yep. So the question is, will WinJS be supported everywhere, like in the browser and stuff like that? And right now it's not. And we've looked at it before, and the reality is that it doesn't make sense, right? Windows 8 is aimed for JavaScript or for people that are in Windows Store apps, right? We do a lot of that extra stuff that I told you about, like the PLM, the lifecycle management, right? We give you access onto WinRT, right? So all of these things is something that you cannot do in a browser where you're in a sandbox. These things are these are also things that don't make sense when you're in a different platform. So in our plan right now, we don't have anything to announce with regards to supporting it on other platforms or doing anything beyond, even in the browser. So far, we're looking at the functionality and saying, hey, that doesn't quite make sense. It's something we're looking at all the time. Definitely, for example, as we go forward with Windows Phone, et cetera, it's something we have to continue to look at. But right now, it's not. Right now, it's Windows Store only. A lot of it runs in the browser. But even then, we tell you we don't officially support it in the browser because it doesn't make sense that you try to use it there and get all that extra functionality. Right? So we're focused on making sure that it works within Windows Store apps, and it works well for that.
As you said earlier in the starting of the session, like the reason why people try to use HTML5 and CSS3 to do the app development is not only because they are expert in the platform, but also...
I can't hear you very well, sorry.
In the starting of the session, you mentioned that if you are an expert HTML5 and JavaScript developer, so can you leverage your skills in developing the app with those skills instead of using a C#, .NET and XAML? Okay. The reason behind people start using HTML5 and CSS3 is not only because they are expertise, even they want to make their applications to be portable across all the different platforms. That's the main reason like people try to use the HTML5 and CSS3 as their platform framework for developing the apps. This way, like, because we are trying to look for an app to which works in all the platforms. So, like, whether it is
Hang on, I can't hear you very well. Can you give me 1 second to make sure that... if you want to just come up, because I can't hear you very well, and the question is so long that I already lost track.
I'll take it offline and let them finish.
Talk to me offline. Okay. And then if there's two more, and then you guys can come up, because I honestly cannot hear very well. Go ahead.
You talked about EXEC on... run unsafe web method, right? Within that, can it access WinJS?
Yeah. So if you're calling exec unsafe local function, can you actually access WinJS? Yes.
Okay.
When you call exec unsafe local function, all we do is we turn the filtering off. Your JavaScript the way you would do on the the way you've done before in web context. And we turn the filtering off, and you can still access WinJS from there.
And then I guess you also mentioned post message. Do you recommend post message?
Yep.
Or just use the unsafe filtering?
Well, so those are different, right? Post message is if I want to have a Windows Store application that has an iframe, and I need to communicate back and forth, then post message works there. And exec unsafe local function doesn't help you there. Post message is to go back and forth
just
between
the iframe
contexts.
Web context. Okay, thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you for coming, guys. Yep.